Welcome to the Deep Sexy Play podcast. I'm your host, EJ Love, and this is my uncensored space designed to stimulate your mind and give you full permission to explore your curiosities and express your deepest sexual desires. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's get turned on. So, the life of a tantric escort. This has very much been a requested episode and something I actually love talking about because it's been such a huge part of my journey. And it's really interesting. I have people that work in the sex industry that'll ask me how to make their work more sacred, how to make it more conscious, how to make it more fulfilling for their soul and more honoring to their body. And then I also have people that are into spirituality and consciousness and tantra that want to get into escorting work, that can see the power of bringing this work into the sexuality space. So this episode is really designed to answer the questions that I've been asked around this and to share my journey and really how I transitioned my normal escort work into more of a conscious tantric escort experience. And some people may use the term sacred sexual priestess, which doesn't necessarily have to mean offering full service. But mine is, what I'm talking about here is more how I did it offering a full service sexual experience. And then I also did transition out of offering full service. So I want to start by talking about what does it mean to be tantric? Yeah, so my interpretation is that it's really about bringing more presence and consciousness to our sexual experiences. So it's not about the goal. It's about really honoring our bodies, celebrating our bodies, and feeling more sensuality and feeling more connection and intertwining our spirituality with our sexuality and being more mindful about our experiences. So this is quite a slow take on it, so on sexuality. So tantric is known to be quite slow. It's about really being in the moment, and it is away from needing to achieve orgasm. And the way that we really become present is through breath, sound, touch, and movement. And these are the elements that really make something tantric. And look, something tantric doesn't necessarily mean something sexual. Yeah, so it can be just through eye gazing, for example. That's a tantric experience. There's a tantric energy orgasm that's often done without touch. There is tantric yoga. So tantric, if to me, really is about presence and consciousness and bringing that spiritual element to an experience. And in my sessions, I also very much focused on activating sexual energy through the breath, through the sound, through the touch, and through the movement. Yeah, so what I would find is a lot of men, their sexual energy was actually very blocked. Yeah, and their focus was, all their energy was in their sex center, so around their genitals, and would build up, and then they'd want to ejaculate it out. So a lot of the work that I was doing was getting them to move their sexual energy and supporting them to move it up into their bodies. And through that, often they were able to experience a full body energy orgasm. But it was very important that they didn't focus on having that goal. And that's something that I had to really teach them and speak to at the start of my sessions, was letting go of trying to make anything happen or get to anything specific. And as you can imagine, men have very much been conditioned to, in sex, have a goal, have that orgasm. So, it really took me a lot of practice to get to a place where I knew that I really had to make this an important part of the discussion that I was having them with them before it started, because men have actually become addicted to the ejaculation. Yeah, so I'm going to talk more about this as we go along. But one thing I do before we get into the rest of this is that I want you to know is that Tantra is not Kama Sutra. So this is something that's often a misconception, is that they think that it gets associated with being Kama Sutra. And so I didn't really experience this a lot with men coming with that expectation, but it was something that I also spoke to in my advertising, like what it means to be tantric and the experiences that I offered. But I just some people have that association. So this was never about doing lots of different types of sex positions. Yeah. So I want to talk about briefly the difference between my life before my own tantric awakening and what it was like as an escort. So my escort life before was very different, and it was very much about meeting a man's needs usually for company, for affection, for physical touch, for physical intimacy, for having some kind of relief, you know, whether that be through a hand job, a blow job, or through penetrative sex. And very much my experience was that I'm here to be of service to meeting those needs for my client. And every client was really different. So there was often a commonality. So the most common experience I would have is offering a man some kind of touch, you know, whether through massage or kissing, some kind of affection that would get us connected, right? And often there would be a conversation beforehand as well, and to get us connected before we got straight into things. And then through that, we would go into more sexual acts. And then often we would have time to talk and connect. And it was interesting because I felt like a lot of men, like they actually spent more time talking and connecting and me being more like a counselor than they did actual in the physical part of sex. I also offered a girlfriend experience, so that's why I would attract that as well. So men that were wanting more of that company and that nurturing and that affection, whereas there are other women that also offer a porn star experience, which is a bit more wild, a bit more kinky. I won't go into this here. If you guys want me to do an episode on that, let me know. I can definitely share more about that. But you know, I'm more about the conscious sexual experience. And bringing that to the sex industry. And sometimes I think to myself, if I knew then what I knew now, I really feel I could have brought I would have done things so much differently. And I actually would have been a lot more creative. And I did get quite creative with the practices and the rituals that I offered. And it's interesting, every client that started to come to me when I started offering this tantric work, I did end up molding and creating new things based on what these clients were experiencing. So it got to be really quite a fun and interesting journey for me. So the other thing that I want to just mention here about the life before Tantra is that I very much didn't honor my body. And like literally before a client arrived, I would slap on lube so that I was ready for sex. It was like as though I made sure that I was ready to go. And the reality is that is not healthy, because our pussies it is so important that we honor them, because if we do not, and we're having penetrative sex before we are ready, our pussies are going to armor themselves to protect. Yeah, to protect itself. And this is how we get numbness. This is how we get pain. Yeah, so I've spent at least the last, I think, 8 years healing myself from this, from years of doing it. And even before I was you know, working in the sex industry, I did that as well. So I really felt like I didn't even, like back then I didn't even know this though. I just thought it was pretty normal to put lube on to be able to have sex. Yeah, I didn't think that, oh no, I have to wait till I'm naturally wet. I have to wait till I'm ready and she's like, you know, ready to be penetrated. Yeah, so I would just use lube to do that. So now that I know how damaging that was for me and how much healing I've had to do to actually reclaim my own pleasure. And this was another thing. My mindset was very much about, I'm here to keep the client happy and please my client. This is what they're paying for. This is the service. And I was actually very disconnected from my body. I would disassociate. You know, while the client was having this good time, often I would be in my head, you know, not even really present. Yeah, I found that at the start, I was definitely more present. But over time, my body started to disconnect because I was dishonoring my body. Now, I was basically traumatizing my body. And because I was doing something my body was not a yes to. Yeah, it was doing it because this is a service I'm offering and I'm getting paid for it. Not my body is a full fuck yes to this. And so it's a hard position to be in. And I didn't know the impacts that was doing to my body until while I was still in it and I started learning about, sexual healing and tantra. And then I was like, oh, holy shit. I'm so numb and I'm so disconnected. I'm not even present. Like I don't feel safe to surrender. I'm not present during sex. I'm not really there with my clients. I'm in my head thinking about things and doing stuff and getting them to ejaculate usually as quickly as possible. Yeah, and I think my body was tired, you know, during that day after day. And as I said before, like at the start, it wasn't really like that. Like I was more present, I was more enthusiastic, and yeah, I was just more there. But after years of doing it, I just realized that my body had disassociated so much from that. And I think, you know, there are probably many escorts out there that experience the same feeling. I know because I've talked to them and I've worked with a lot of them that have been through this. But that's not to say that every escort is like that. There probably are escorts out there that really, really love what they do, and their body is a yes, and they enjoy it, and they get off on it, and that is what they love. So I don't want to, you know, speak for everyone with this either. But what I will say is, if you are an escort and you're listening to this and you resonate, that you're not alone and that it's okay. And just know that there is a healing journey available to you. And there is also a way that you can do your work and still honor your body. And that is what I believe tantric escorting offers us, is a way to do that. So how it began for me is that I started going through my own sexual healing. I went and had a tantric massage, and I spoke about this on the last episode, where I was so numb and I didn't want to have sex with my partner anymore. It felt like work, it felt like a chore. And I went and had this tantric massage, and she basically said that the energy in my sacral chakra, which is around the womb and genitals, was full of all this blocked energy, and which is my sexual energy, and that it was full of the energy of all the DNA of all the men I'd been with. Yeah, and she was basically saying that we hold the energy of the DNA of the people that we sleep with. This is a belief system in sacred sexuality, that they believe that we take these energies on when we're having sex with someone. My first response was to her, get it out. How do I get it out? I was like, I don't want all the energy of all the men I've been with inside me. So she helped clear some of it, but it was my own journey to go on and start to clear that. And it started with doing tantric practices. It started with connecting to my sexual energy and using breath and sound and touch and movement to start opening my body and to start bringing that energy up and into my body. And the first time that I started doing these self-pleasure practices, so I was doing this conscious self-pleasure practices using tantric breath work, I actually cried. And it was a bit of a shock to me, because I was like, well, why am I crying? What's going on? And then I just asked my body, it's like, what is going on here? And the message that I got was that you don't feel worthy of pleasure. And I felt like this relief and this also sadness come over me, because I felt like truth. I was like, I've spent my whole life pleasuring everyone else and really not allowing myself to receive. Even when men were going down on me and supposedly giving me pleasure, it was really for them. Like when men wanted to give me pleasure in that way, well, they're getting joy out of it, so I'm going to let them do it because that's what they want. You know, and although I would experience pleasure from that, it still had that idea of that it was, this is not really for me. Yeah, so there's this whole shame around feeling pleasure for me, and it was really interesting that so much of my life and my work had been focused on giving everyone else pleasure. So that's when I really committed to healing myself and going to a lot of different workshops and trainings and courses, trying to heal my numbness, heal my pain, healing all the shame and guilt that was internalized inside of my yoni, which is the tantric term for pussy, or Sanskrit term for pussy, and releasing that, because I had all this trauma stored in there, and my pussy had become so numb because of how many times I had dishonored her and had sex. And also I had experienced some sexual trauma when I was younger, and having non-consensual sex. So that also had led to that that numbness and that pain, the shame and the guilt that was stored inside my yoni, because this yoni does hold and store those emotions. So the other thing was, is that for a long time, sex work had felt like it wasn't right for me, and that I wanted to find a way that was more soul aligned. Yeah, and because I was already on the spiritual healing path, I felt like I was doing all this healing work on myself, and I was really getting into offering energy healings as well, doing Reiki, that I, you know, sex work was kind of going against that. Like, it was like, oh, I'm damaging myself every time I do this. And I could feel like felt off. Yeah. And I wanted to really leave sex work at that time and be like, okay, I need to build up my other business. And then when I discovered a tantra and I had this tantric massage, I had this massive light bulb go off, and I was like, oh, this is how I bring sexuality and spirituality together. Like, this is how I bring my spiritual side with my sexual side. And what if I was to offer like tantric services to my clients? And that's when I really began experimenting. So what I did is I started offering tantric massage. So I had a full service escort offering, and I had tantric massage. And I offered them, I advertised them on escort and erotic massage pages. And I think really when I first started, I didn't really know exactly what I was doing. But the more that I went into courses and trainings, the more that I started to really embody this. And I was fortunate in the fact that I had a lot of clients and regular clients that were willing for me to also practice on them and explore. And so I started off with a tantric massage. And I really offered that as more of a, it was like an erotic massage, but with tantric elements to it. Yeah, so I started bringing in the breath and the sound and the movement into the touch. Yeah, and I was focusing on bringing a lot of attention to their genitals and moving the energy up with breath, with sound, with touch, with movement into their hearts. Yeah, and just getting them to move the energy. And so at first I didn't focus away from ejaculation because I didn't really know how to get these men away from the idea of not ejaculating. And it was tough because so many men, for so long, men had been so used to coming to me and experiencing ejaculation. And so I was like, okay, how do I tell them that this is not about ejaculation? And actually, I felt it even a little bit awkward and uncomfortable at first, knowing that, well, Tantra is not really about the happy ending, but these men are so used to doing this and almost feeling like this part of me that's like, no, I want them to walk away happy. I want them to walk away satisfied. And the only way that they're going to do this is if they've had an ejaculation. So in my mind, it was almost like if I didn't give them that, they weren't going to be happy with my service. And what this was really a case of is my commitment to the work and getting out of that belief system that a man is only going to be happy and satisfied with my service if he's had an ejaculation. Yeah, and really, I had to make it very clear in my advertising and when I sat down with him at the start of a session to explain this. Yeah, and so for some men, it would take a bit to wrap their head around. And I can remember, actually, there was one client who we had a session, and at the end, I could feel his disappointment. Like, he was disappointed that he hadn't ejaculated. And, you know, and this would happen often, like, even though I had explained the session and the concept of the session and the intention of the session, like, there was something that would happen in a man's mind that as soon as, like, he started to, sexual energy really started getting, really excited, that it would flip to, like, got to have an ejaculation. Yeah, and this is pretty normal because men have had this conditioning that sex is, you know, about ejaculation. And so that would just take over, right? And what I would tend to find is that I would have to slow them down and then bring them back up and then slow them down and just keep reminding them to breathe and to, because they'd start contracting and they'd stop breathing. So I had to remind them to come back to that. And then, there's one guy, he didn't end up having an ejaculation, and I could feel that disappointment at the end. He's like, oh, I feel a bit weird that I didn't ejaculate. And, you know, I explained to him, look, that's really normal. And just notice how you feel over the next couple of days. And so there was definitely a part of me that was like, felt kind of like, I wouldn't say bad for him, but like, oh, had I done my job properly? Even he's walking away, like, I want my clients to walk away feeling happy and fulfilled, right? Not like disappointed. But I knew that was just his stuff, because what happened is he messaged me the next day and he said, I feel amazing. I do not know what you did to me, but I feel alive. I'm like, wow. He's like, I need to do this more. And there was this part of me that was like, in my mind, I was like, I told you so. And the thing is, most clients won't even message to say, to share about those things. But it was just this like great feedback to receive that from him, to hear that, like, you know what, if you actually give up getting the goal in that moment, then you're going to receive the benefits of that. And how it actually brings that, you know, shows you the power of your sexual energy as your life force, because that's what it is, right? Essentially, what I was doing was helping men unblock their sexual energy and activate their life force connected to their hearts and their bodies and utilize that in their life. Yeah, bring that to their work, bring that to their relationships, use that as fuel, as motivation, as fire, so that they can feel alive. Because what's happening is when these men ejaculate, they lose their life force. Yeah, and they deplete themselves all for that high peak experience. And most of their sexual energy just sits blocked around their genitals, not doing anything. And it builds up and it builds up, and then they just ejaculate it out and it gets wasted. Yeah, so, you know, what I soon realized is that that's what I was doing. And, you know, for me to keep them, you know, having these ejaculations, yes, they got, you know, a taste of experience, or and they might have some healing in that experience, but at the end of the day, they were losing their life force. So the more that I got really to see this and experience this, and have clients come back and realize the benefits, the more that I could really stay true to this. And here's the thing too, is like sometimes some men, because they might be struggling with things like a premature ejaculation, or they just got too excited, they would ejaculate. And it was very important for me to not make that wrong. Yeah, so if they did end up ejaculating, that's okay. You know, and I would, again, I would explain that at the start of the session. So what I would do is I would essentially at the start of a session, I would go over the intention and have them set an intention, what they would love to have happen in the session, what they would like to get out of it, and then talk about what it means to be tantric and the elements that we're going to experience, and to talk about that this is not about ejaculation. Yeah, and that the focus is, you know, I was very clear, I'm not anti-ejaculation, but I want you to help you to experience what it's like to not ejaculate. I'd also explain that some men have had full body energy orgasms during this, but that sometimes that takes a lot of practice, so don't expect to have that happen on the table for the first time either. Yeah, so it was really about them trusting the process and making sure that I knew that they were there for the right reasons. So I would have men ring me up, and it was very clear that they just wanted an erotic massage, which was all about just, you know, the happy ending. And so I'd be clear that they're not the right client for me. Yeah, and I would recommend that they go and seek an erotic massage. So that's the thing, it's about having those boundaries and making sure that when you have the conversations with the client, even on the phone, that they're there for the right reasons. And I would have, a lot of men would say to me, I just want to try something different, or I've heard about tantric and I want to try it out. And then I would sit them down, and then we would go over how the session works. And I would encourage them to let go of the goal, even though that might be difficult, and just trust the process and explain that, you know, that we're working with sexual energy and that you're going to feel the effects afterwards as well, and to just notice that. Yeah, so really setting them up with that information. Now, so I was doing these two things separately, right? So I had the tantric massage and I had the full service escort, and they were separate. And then I got curious about, what if I was to blend these together? You know, how could I bring them together and offer a tantric full service experience? So what I started to do was to offer the tantric massage with the option for a full service. Yeah, so it would be tantric massage and then we would have penetrative sex. And this is where I actually found it a little bit difficult to steer them away from ejaculation. Like early on, before I started to get better at languaging what we were doing and the intention of the session. So that's where they would tend to really want to ejaculate, and sometimes almost couldn't help it because they were so activated at that stage. So what I learned was to really take men on a journey over different types of sessions. So almost like a level one, and the level one is not full service, right? So it might be some tantric practices and some tantric massage, and the next session might be something else, and the next session might be full service, or maybe even longer than that. I've spoken to other women who've created other packages where their clients, they go on a really slow journey, and these are clients who are really committed. They're really committed to learning how to have tantric sexual experiences because they want that for themselves, and they want a different way of having sex, which is more present and more conscious and more deep, and experiencing new parts of themselves. So this is my recommendation, is to develop different types of sessions. So this is what I did. I developed a series of rituals And what would happen is, one of the sessions that I created was a tantric cock worship ritual. And this was definitely my most popular one. And it was a good entry as well, because the man really mostly got to witness and receive. Yeah. And it wasn't really about touching me at all or doing anything to me at all. It was all about me honoring and worshiping the man. And so how that session would begin is with an undressing ritual, which was so incredibly beautiful, where I would slowly undress the man in the most sensual, soft, honoring way, and getting him to breathe into his body and feel the different sensations as I was taking the clothes off. I would also eye gaze with him and place my hand on his heart and look into his eyes, let him know that all of his is welcome here, thank him for being here, and any other beautiful words of appreciation that I felt drawn to share with him. And this is a beautiful way for us to get really connected. And then I'd ask him to close his eyes, and then I'd slowly undress him and touch his body in a really soft, sensual way as I did this. And then I'd sit him down in what I call the king chair. And he was ready to be treated like a king. And I'd request him to witness me as I danced for him as this goddess. And this was a really embodied dance, a slow dance, where I'd really be feeling into my own pleasure. And I might take off some items of clothing and just allowing him to witness me in my feminine. And what I would encourage him to do beforehand is that if he noticed any part of him that wanted to touch me or go towards me, was to just breathe that into his own body, to really feel the sensation that was being activated in his own body, you know, that arousal that he might be feeling. And it was really interesting watching these men and witness me in their eyes. That I could just feel the sense of reverence, like the reverence of the goddess that many of these men had never seen before. You know, most of these men are used to going to strip clubs, you know, or watching porn. And now they're seeing this goddess before them, dancing in her own pleasure for herself in the most devotional way. Yeah, so power, so powerful. And some men would say, they were just like, they'd be mesmerized. They'd say, wow, you're a goddess. Yeah, it was, yeah, it's just, yeah, to, you know, I've had the pleasure of like literally witnessing, seeing thousands of men witness me in this way. And then I would go to them and I'd sit before them on my knees and I'd place my hands on their feet and I'd bow to them. And then I'd move into, sometimes I'd move into washing their feet, honoring them in that way, making eye contact with them at times. Yeah, just really beautifully connecting with them. And it's very slow. Yeah. And then I'd move into touch, you know, touching their body and massaging them and touching them with different, often use, I'd have different sensations like feathers or a blindfold, inviting them to close their eyes and come into their own bodies. And a lot of men, they're so used to the visual and seeing the woman that that's how they get inside their heads and are disconnected from their bodies. Is because they're so used to seeing a screen. They're so used to that imagery. So often I would blindfold them to invite them to just experience in the touch. And a lot of these men would often be soft. You know, they had their cocks were not erect, because often they're so need of to see a visual to be able to even get hard. So this was an invitation for them to steer away from that, to experiencing something different where it was away from even needing to get hard. And one of the things I would have to do at the start is to let them know that, to let go of that and to know that it's going to be quite normal for them to not be aroused, to not be hard, and just allow themselves to experience pleasure without needing to have an erection. Yeah, and so it was confusing for a lot of the men. They were like, oh, I can experience pleasure. I can have my cock massaged without it needing to be hard. A lot of men would have felt insecure about that. Like, oh, you know, she's going to think that I'm not into her if I'm not hard around her, like I should be. And so these are the conversations that I have to, like, have, like, at least talk for about 10 minutes to address all of this, you know, so that they felt, you know, they could just be exactly as they are and know that I'm not going to make any meaning out of it. I'm not going to take anything personally. To know that they could just fully relax. And this was a huge piece of it. Is that in the tantric experience, so much of it was about allowing your man the space to fully surrender, to fully let go, to fully relax, to let go of any pressure of having to get hard, of having to perform, of having to come, any of that, of needing to please me, of having to do anything right, and to just let it all go and just be himself. And that is just, what a gift that is for a man who every day is trying to achieve and get shit done and do, to just have that space to let it all go. And actually, that is what I believe so many men are longing for. They're longing to be held by a goddess. That nourishes him and honors him and worships him and appreciates him. Yeah, men, I do not know many places where men get to receive this. When I offered this to my partner, he cried. Yeah, he'd never had it before. He was 48 when I offered him this. He'd never had this before in his whole life. And there are men out there that never have experienced this and will never get to experience it. And that makes me sad. Yeah, because men need this nourishment. They need to be loved like this. They need to be appreciated like this. It actually fills them up and it gives them more energy to do what they're here to do, to be a man in the world. It can actually make them feel like more of a man to be honored in this way. And we as women, we have this gift. Yeah. So even though a man may come and be like, yeah, I'm here to like have a good time in ejaculation, deep down, what he's longing for is actually connection. Yeah. When I talk to men about what sex provides for them, they say connection. Yeah. So this is what we can provide in a tantric experience, more connection than they'll ever experience from, you know, having a happy ending. Connection that will last for days, that will cement in their mind for a long time. Yeah. You know, this can be an experience that they can remember forever. It's powerful, and that they continue to take into their own self-pleasure, into their own sex life. You know, I would give men practices and that they could take home, you know, that they could bring into their self-pleasure. And it's really important to me. It's like, I don't want this to be just a one-time thing that you do and then that's it. I would encourage them to give practices. And I had an audio, and I'll drop the audio in the show notes, that I would give them to them, a tantric breathwork practice to do with their self-pleasure at home to continue this journey. Now, whether most of them did it or not, I don't know. But some of them definitely continued on, and because they kept coming back for sessions. Yeah. So the tantric cock worship would have those elements of breath, of sound, of touch and movement. And then I would do a lingam massage, lingam being the Sanskrit term for penis, and honor him with different touch and massage. And the main thing was that it was not really about the techniques. It was about it coming from my heart. It was about me giving it from my fullness. Yeah, from an embodied place. Yeah, so for at the start, when I first started doing tantric massage, I very much focused on technique. Yeah, and when I was learning. And then as I was on my own tantric journey for myself, I realized that actually it doesn't matter because, you know, when I'm really connected to myself, I'm very intuitive. And it was more about being intuitive rather than, you know, following a process. It was about intuitively trusting where I felt guided to and following that. And knowing that's exactly what my client needed. And in saying that, one of the other conversations that was always really important for me to have was about boundaries. So I would have a conversation about boundaries with my clients, like what kind of touch they wanted to receive and any no-go zones, and giving them some tools that they could use to be able to stop the experience or change or ask for something different. And also speaking my own boundaries, of course. You know, one of the things that I commonly said was that, you know, this is about them, not about me. And so, particularly in the tantric cock worship, that it was not about touching me. And so that if they did feel called to reach out and touch me, that I would gently take their hand and I would place it back to them because I wanted them to fully receive. Yeah, and also, I would find that if the client did touch me, that it would take me out of it would take them out of their experience to receive, but it would also take me away from being able to fully give. Yeah, so I would explain that to them. Yeah. And what I did is I created another session that was about giving and receiving touch. So I created what I called an intimate touch ritual. And so this was where, with my clients, we would actually be giving and receiving tantric touch. And the thing that I loved about this session is that I really got to work with clients on understanding a woman's body and a woman's boundaries and consent. So we would explore intimate touch, but we would use touch that was really based around boundaries and consent. So we worked with what is called the Wheel of Consent, and which was created by Dr. Betty Martin. And there's some wonderful trainings on YouTube about that I highly recommend it. It's also, I have a copy of it, the actual diagram and the actual ritual, the intimate touch ritual, in my playbook, which you can get at deepsexyplay.com, and you can get a copy of that yourself. And so we work with these questions, which are, how do you want to be touched and how do you want to touch me? So we would explore those questions where it might be for 10 or 15 minutes where one person is receiving the touch and the other person is giving the touch, and you working with those questions. And that was really beautiful because we got to reflect on, I got to reflect with the clients on what they learned and what they discovered. And one of the most common things that I found is that men really struggled with fully receiving. And that often when they thought they were giving, they were often taking. Yeah, because they were giving what they thought I wanted, when really often they were doing it for their own pleasure. Yeah, and thinking that's what I thought they wanted, but it was like they were thinking that they were giving me what I wanted, but they were trying to make me happy so that they felt good about what they were doing. When really, was it really what I wanted? Not necessarily. Had they asked me, that was the thing we had to learn about. It's like getting really specific about that. I also noticed that men often struggle to go really slow. Yeah, I often had to tell them like to go 3 times slower than what they think is slow. So that was really interesting. And, you know, obviously I'm generalizing here, but these are the commonalities. These are the common things that happened. And in that session, again, we'd start with some eye gazing, we'd do some breath work, and then we'd move into the touch. So the body was open, yeah, so that we were connected and the body was more open to receiving because we'd been working with the breath. And then another session I offered was a yoni worship session. So this is where I actually taught men how to offer a tantric massage and a yoni massage. Yeah, so similar to what I did in the men's tantric cock worship, we would do some eye gazing and then I would guide my client to undress me. And then we'd do some breathing together, and then I'd guide him how to touch a woman's body. How I'd teach about the yoni and the different parts of the yoni and different types of massage. And I also did for a while, I was on the path of learning about squirting. So I did teach men about squirting and different techniques. But I eventually stopped doing that because at the end of the day, I felt like, you know, women really have to, every woman is different. And that's a really important piece. And it was a piece that I did teach. So every woman is different. And here's the thing, usually a man's mindset around squirting is it comes from this, like, I want to make it happen. You know, it comes from like, I want to make something happen. I want to make a woman squirt. And that's not really the mindset of Tantra. It's not. So I started to steer away from that because I knew it wasn't really coming from the right place. Whereas, you know, squirting is very much about what I call sacred squirting. Is very much about surrender and letting go and allowing it to happen rather than, you know, doing techniques to try and make it happen. Yeah, so I don't, yeah, just didn't really end up teaching that so much. And although, I mean, I did enjoy it when I got to experience. And I remember there was a point in time when I was really teaching these yoni massages. I was like, man, this is great. I'm basically being paid to teach men how to pleasure me. This is amazing. So the only, here's the thing though, the reality with that is because I was in teacher mode, in my head a lot with that, I couldn't really fully surrender. So I was very much still in my head teaching them techniques. So I didn't really get to allow myself to fully surrender in those experiences. So another service I offered was also what's called sacred spot ritual, which is a prostate massage. So this is usually happen when I was doing a tantric massage session. And this is very healing for men. So a lot of men carry shame around this area, like the anus. So this is why it can be deeply healing. Men hold a lot of emotional shit, pardon the pun, in the anus. So their whole trauma, there can be shame in there, anger, fear. So when they're receiving a prostate massage, it can be very deeply healing. It's also very normal for a lot of men to feel a weird sensation or an uncomfortable sensation during prostate massage. So I would, of course, inform them of that and always use lots of lube with gloves. And I had to stop getting my nails done because you do not want to have sharp nails when you're doing a prostate massage. If you would like me to talk more about prostate massage, let me know. I'm happy to do an episode on it. My partner, he actually really enjoys it. He does a lot of self-prostate massage and he can really share from a man's experience what it's like and how powerful it is. So he's able to have orgasms through prostate massage, which I think is pretty cool, and really healed any taboo or shame there is around that. And listen, that's the man's G-spot, is in his anus. Like I would have some men that would come to me for prostate massage that felt a lot of pleasure. Like it really turned them on having prostate massage. So look, it's not for everyone. And a lot of men would come wanting to try it and wanting to try it in a way where it really was done in a sacred way. Especially men that had experiences before that weren't like that, and they felt like it was really uncomfortable and they just wanted to try it and see it. And then also had a lot of men come who were very curious. They were like, I'm curious about this, and they didn't feel safe to, you know, ask their partner or ask someone, another girl. They wanted to come to a professional and have that experience. And when I was offering full service, I did also offer a strap-on service. And when I was doing this in a tantric way, it was powerful. Like it was actually really incredible because I was so much more embodied and can call on this masculine energy. And I remember this one time, actually this wasn't with a strap on, it was with, I was just using a toy, but it was very much like the way I was holding it, and I was coming from behind with it. And it was like this man got initiated. He had an initiation into his surrender, into his feminine, into just like fully allowing himself to let go. It was so deep and so powerful. It was incredible. So I might talk about that on another episode as well. I feel like I go so deep on that, so much of this it's yeah. And when it's done in that sacred way, it just has that element of initiation that comes through. I also, for a period, offered what I called a sacred anal sex ritual. So this is when I, again, was doing full service, and I taught men how to honor a woman's anus, essentially. Like, how do you, instead of like I've seen happen a lot and I've experienced, is a man kind of just is like, oh, do you want to try anal sex? Do you want to give it a go? And slaps on a bit of lube and slowly tries to get in there. And I was like, okay, well, actually the anus needs to be prepared. It needs to be massaged. It needs to be slowly opened. It needs to, you know, really welcome in the penis in a beautiful, slow and deep way. So what I taught men to do was how to open a woman's body. Yeah, how to open her whole body, and then how to open the anus through, you know, massaging of the butt, and then using fingers, so gloved fingers, and slowly just circling around the anus area and waiting for it to open. And they could experience what it was like to have that open, and then have it fully open to actually being able to receive anal sex. To be able to receive the penis and having it like really welcome it in, rather than that what is usually experienced is like a tightness and a contraction and like an uncomfortability and like I feel like I'm going to poo. Like those things happen when entering, whereas this is like the whole body is open and receptive, and it's just, you know, more so the anus is welcoming in the penis. And we're using breath, we're using sound, we're using touch, we're using movement. All those elements that are opening the body to be fully receptive. And again, this can be deeply healing for a woman to receive this, because, you know, she may have taboo and shame around her anus as well. And for me, when I started exploring this more, and even with myself, with using my own toys, is that I started to experience anal orgasms and feeling, just that I could feel more orgasmic through my whole body as well. Now, another ritual, I feel like I have so many rituals that I created over this time working as a tantric escort, was sensual domination. So in the playbook, the Deep Intimacy playbook, there's a practice or a game called I Want To. And I really use this in the sensual domination, where I would take on a role of, usually I was the dom, but I did play sometimes with being the submissive, but usually it was a dom. My clients were coming to me for domination. And I personally, not really into a lot of pain. And a lot of people do associate submission and domination with pain, and that's actually not the case. So this is why I called it sensual domination, because it was for men who wanted to experience being dominated, but they didn't really want the pain aspect of it, but they wanted the energetics of it. They wanted a woman just to take control and really dominate them. So I would go into this role of like either being a queen or a mistress, and I would be playing with just asking for, you know, this, I want this, you know, want, and being in this energy of like, I want you to get on your knees, and I want you to kiss my feet,
I want you to slowly slide your fingers up my leg and look into my eyes. Yeah, and I'll use the sensual voice as well. Yeah, I want you to look at me and lick your lips. I want you to slowly run your fingers through my hair and tell me how soft it is. And so it was getting men to have this opportunity, or giving the men to have this opportunity to let go of control. Yeah, and just not have to think about anything. And a lot of the reason why businessmen go to see dominatrixes is because that's their chance to not think about anything. Yeah. So I personally love sensuality. This is definitely probably one of my favorite sessions because I just get to ask for what I wanted and receive exactly what I wanted. Yeah. And of course, we always had boundaries and consent. So if my clients didn't want to do something, then they didn't never had to do it. And then again, I would offer the opposite as well. So where men could ask for what they wanted. And it's interesting, not many men actually wanted this service. But actually, I feel that there are a lot of men out there that need this, that need to practice asking for what they want. And I think the reason that they didn't really want the service so much is because they don't feel that they can ask for what they want. Yeah, they don't feel that, they don't feel confident at it. They don't feel they're worthy of it. They've been conditioned that it's not safe to ask for what they want. So when we would do an intimate touch session where there was an area, a space to ask for what they wanted, a lot of them would really struggle with that. So we would work on that, yeah? So there was the opportunity to work on it. But me advertising something like that, like, you know, this is a chance for you to ask for what you want, to me sounds like juicy as fuck, yes please. But for them, for most men, it'd be like, oh fuck, like, I don't even know what I want. What do I ask for? Oh, I don't want to ask for something that you don't want to give me. I don't want to offend you. I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable. And of course, the sessions I created were all about helping with that. Right, this session is about you asking for exactly what you want. Yeah, and if I don't want to do it, I'll just say no. And they'll be like, oh, but I might feel rejected. It's like, cool, like, let's work on that. Let's work through this. Yeah, this is what this is about. It's helping you to be able to ask for what you want so you feel really confident and you can be a great lover who knows what he wants. Because we as women, we want that. We want a man that can ask for what he wants and knows what he wants. Yeah, my partner and I, we have had a massive journey with this. It's been so beautiful to see him really own what he wants. And yeah, we'll definitely do another episode on that because it's going to be really powerful. And it's like something we reflect on all the time, on how far he's come. And you know, there was a moment and a beautiful experience we had early on in our dating where this came up, and we went and we did a ritual where I danced for him, and he told me exactly how he wanted me to dance, and we started there. So it wasn't even about touch. It was like, right now, you know, what level can we go to with you asking for what you want? Right, you know, I want you to dance for me. Great. I want you to tell me how much, like, how you want me to dance. And he would tell me the moves. Yeah. And you know, it was awkward at first. And that was how it was. And now he is amazing. Like, he dominates me and he's really good at it. He is really good at it. You know, I'm the one that struggles to submit sometimes. So, and he's so good at being dominant now. Yeah, it's amazing. And I want more men to be able to do that. Like, it would absolutely transform their whole sex life and their confidence. Like, I just imagine, like, if more men were doing, you know, work on that and doing sessions around really claiming what they wanted, and they were doing that with a professional and then taking that home, like, wow, powerful, powerful, powerful. And it also changes how they show up in everyday life, in their work, with their friends, in their businesses. Like just being able to really just ask for what they want and stop being a people pleasing nice guy. So yeah, really, really, really powerful. Yeah, so and so this is where for me, like, the work became fulfilling because I was like, this is filtering out into their lives, you know, and my advertising really changed so that I was speaking to men that wanted that. And here's the thing, is that I still advertised on escort sites and erotic massage directories, and because I knew that men would read it and something would land for them or spark for them. So one of the most common things men would say to me is they'd call me up and they'd say, I was originally looking for an escort or an erotic massage, and then I read your whole ad, and by the way, my ad was pretty long. I read your whole ad and I realized that this is what I actually need. And that was like music to my ears, because here's a man who's just got a brand new awareness and he's been able to see something that he never saw before. And so the way that I'd worded my ad was really speaking to what was going on underneath. So their desire might have been for, like, to go see an escort because they want some company or connection, or, you know, longing for more intimacy, whereas my ad spoke to, like, what was going on underneath that. Yeah, which was usually around, like, they want a deeper connection. Yeah, so, and often, a lot of these men might be struggling with some kind of sexual dysfunction and felt a lot of shame about it and didn't, you know, might be lacking sex in their relationship or not being feeling they can date because they're struggling with that dysfunction. And so I started offering these sexual healing services, helping men with premature ejaculation, erectile dysfunction, and even inability to orgasm, which would plague a lot of men as well. It doesn't get talked about very often, but it does. And so I would start offering work with that. So I created created an online program so that would help men to heal these sexual dysfunctions, which is my Men's Sex Mastery program. And you can actually still get it. I do have it as a digital course, which I'll pop down below. So men would come and they'd do a session with me, and then they'd go and do the program, and then usually we'd do a session at the end of the program, or some men also did more sessions during, as well as they were doing the online program, because the online program would give them at-home practices to do. I remember there was this one client who, he was like in his 60s, and he had had sex with his wife for, I think, years, because he had porn-induced erectile dysfunction and also premature ejaculation. He had both. Poor guy. So, and again, this is common. So if you're a guy listening to this and you're like, oh my God, I'm struggling too, I want you to know that this is actually really common. Yeah. So what happened with him? So we did the program and we did a session together, and he messaged me. It was Valentine's Day, and he messaged me a couple of days after, and he said to me, for the first time, we got to have sex in a really long time and everything worked. So, you know, it's so magical for me to hear that and to know that this work works. And it was through doing tantric practices. And so, you know, by advertising on these sites, you know, I was speaking to men that might be struggling with this stuff as well, and giving them a new awareness or a new way, because a lot of these men are at a loss. Sometimes they've tried everything. They've tried Viagra. They have gone to see doctors, and nothing works. And I'm not saying that. I'm definitely not saying that tantric practices are the answer, because everyone is different. I would also send men to see a naturopath, because sometimes it is to do with their hormones. And I would recommend, I had a naturopath that I recommend, so they go and get them on special supplements and get them helping out with that, because there are often medical reasons going on as well. So that's important, and, you know, medication. So you know, it's not, you know, it's not like this is the magical fix that's going to cure it, but it's definitely an option to look at, is what I would say. Yeah, and I like to take a holistic approach to look at all angles as well. So I wouldn't say to my clients, this is the magical thing that's going to fix you, but it's definitely going to help you. Yeah, and even if it's just helping them have more confidence, you know, and being more present and being more connected and being able to even experience more orgasmic sensations in their body, then why not, right? So what was really great about offering this tantric work was that I really got to honor my body, and this was so huge. You know, I never had to do anything that I didn't want to do. Yeah, so beforehand, it was very much about I'm just doing what I'm paid to do. Whereas this way, I got to really create sessions. I got to develop them. I got to do things that I was interested in. And I got to serve clients in a way that was actually really soul-fulfilling. Yeah. Until I got to a point where I decided that I didn't want to do physical work anymore, that I just wanted to focus on coaching work. And that's the last episode that I did, is where I talked about that. And eventually that just evolved over time. I ended up just moving more and more into the online space. Now, something that I do feel was really important to mention is that I was also healing my relationship with men. Because I do believe that if you're going to offer this work to men, that you need to look at your own relationship with men. If you've got like stories and resentment and wounds playing out, like this will filter into your work. It's going to be very hard to love, appreciate and worship men when underneath you resent them. Yeah. So I did my work. I did my work on healing my past experiences with men, so that I could really hold a safe space. And so that men felt that they were safe in my experience, that they could be all of themselves and I wasn't going to shut them down, that I wasn't going to let my own stories or beliefs come into the space. So that's really important piece.
And look, I had a lot of healing to do. For me, I had trust issues. I had experienced abuse in the past. I actually didn't feel safe with men. And so by not feeling safe, it meant that I was in control a lot. And so the way that I was doing sex work was to also feel in control to some degree. But I also did have some unsafe experiences working in the industry, which then confirmed my belief system that I developed, that men weren't safe and so that I had to be in control. And so a lot of my work was on learning to how to feel safe and how to open my heart and be in my heart with men and be in my vulnerability. So if you know that you need to go on a healing journey with your relationship with men, I would recommend to start with my book. It's called Become the One, and it is about healing past wounds and relationship patterns that you've had with men. And also, for me, one of the common experiences that I used to have was two things. Was that I would attract men that weren't really available, and I also was not allowing myself to be fully available. And that's one of the patterns that I talk about in the book. And essentially, this would play out in my work, because I would be working and not making myself available, and not believing that men would want to be with me, and while I was doing this work, and to some degree I was just keeping myself emotionally safe. Yeah, so I did talk about that on another episode, about I think it was the last episode, about how I had this story that no man would want me if I did sex work. And it's a story, it's not true, because there are plenty of women and men that work in the sex industry, and people that work in the sex industry, that are in relationships and very happily in relationships. So it is a possibility, but it's about getting curious about, okay, what's going on for me internally that I believe that I can't have this? Yeah, what? How is this keeping me safe? Where did this belief system come from?
one of the questions I have been asked is, how do you balance your work with your personal life and having intimate partners? So I want to talk about that on the next episode, because that is quite a big topic. And also another question is, how do you energetically protect yourself when letting others inside of you? So I'm going to talk about that as well. And I just want to put it out to you guys. If you have any questions for me, please send me a message. Message me on Instagram or on Facebook, or email me. And I'll put my email in the show notes as well. And ask me your questions, because I'm happy to answer them on the show. And I love being asked questions. I know that some people will probably want to be anonymous. And so just know that I won't use any names, and I will really honor that as well. So the main message that I want to leave you with here is, for me, moving from my former sex work into a more sacred, tantric, conscious sex work, is that the difference was that rather than men coming to me and me being a service provider of pleasuring and pleasing men and dishonoring my body in that process, was that I got to move into offering a service where I provided healing, where I provided teaching and learning and discovery, and where I got to do this in a way that really honored my body, that I could really listen to my body, and that men were honoring of that as well. Yeah, so I felt like I had, I was actually really empowered in that place, where before, even though I thought I was empowered, I thought, you know, I was so powered, I'm so in control, I actually wasn't. Yeah, because I didn't felt like I could really listen to my body. And in fact, I didn't even know that was really a thing that I needed to do back then. Whereas, you know, offering a service where I'm guiding men and they are really in receptivity, that allowed me to really drop in and listen to my body and honor it. So I think that's a huge piece, and it's actually massive, because it's the difference between my body shutting down and my body like being able to be really open and feeling safe. I would love more women to get access to this work, and if you do feel called, if you're like, this really speaks to me, I know that this is part of my path, I'd love to learn this, then reach out to me and send me a message. Follow me on Facebook, Instagram, email me. I'd love to connect with you, and I'd love to support you in any way to help you be able to offer this work in the world, because I think it's really, really important. And I really believe that this work could absolutely revolutionize the sex industry, as well as really awaken and open a lot of men. And men lack a sexual initiation, and that is the gift that we as women can give them in this space.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Deep Sexy Play. If you're ready to get sexy, then I have a playbook full of intimate questions, sexy games, and deep connection practices, which you can get at deepsexyplay.com. If this episode stimulated your mind, I invite you to like and follow the podcast. And if you're feeling extra sexy or got something out of this episode, then I would love to receive and read your review. To connect with me and my listeners, you're welcome to join my free, private, Deep Sexy Play Facebook group. You can also follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at EJLoveOfficial, where you'll also find my latest offerings and ways to work with me. All these links are in the show notes. I hope you'll be back for more Deep Sexy Play.